Here's a word from the Lord on today. Our scripture today comes from 2 Kings chapter 7, verses 1 through 3. And this is the word of God. Now there were four men with leprosy at the entrance of the city gate. They said to each other, "Why stay here until we die? If we say we're going into the city, the famine is there and we will die. And if we stay here, we will die. So let us go over to the camp of the Armenians and surrender. If they spare us, we live. If they kill us, then we die." At dusk, they got up and went to the camp of the Armenians. And when they reached the edge of the camp, not a man was there. For the Lord caused the Armenians to hear the sound of chariots and horses and a great army, so that they said to one another, "Look, the king of Israel has hired the Hittite and the Egyptian kings to attack us." So they got up and fled in the dusk and abandoned their tents and their horses and donkeys. They left the camp as it was and ran for their lives. The men who had leprosy reached the edge of the camp and entered one of the tents. They ate and drank and carried away silver, gold, clothes, and went off and hid them. They returned and entered another tent and took some things from it and hid them also. Then they said to each other, "We are not doing right. This is a day of good news, and we are keeping it to ourselves. If we wait until daylight, punishment will overtake us. Let us go at once and report this to the royal palace." Let us pray. God, I thank you for this opportunity to stand behind the sacred desk. Lord, I know that you are with me, but I ask you, Lord, now that you would stand even stronger today, O God, that I might be able to bring forth what you have given me to share with thy people. God, strengthen us on today and keep us, O God, and help us to do what thus saith the Lord. This is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. If I want to tag my sermon title today with "Don't die in winter, your season is coming." Quite some time ago, I read a book written by Dr. Millicent Thompson Hunter entitled "Don't Die in Winter, Your Season is Coming." It was such an encouraging book that it came at a time when I truly needed it. It was a bit rough, and the demands on my life seemed so overwhelming at that time. I since came to realize that in those times, God does his best work in us. It is in those times we either grow stronger in God or we keel over and die. Dr. Hunter is a phenomenal preacher, teacher of the gospel, and a pastor of a great congregation. She wrote this book out of her own struggles after being called to ministry, but had to face some tremendous life issues. There was a life-threatening illness, loss of loved ones, and even divorce from her husband, who was also her pastor. In the midst of her challenges, she found the hope and strength she needed to go on and do what God called her to do, be his messenger. I started this sermon with this personal background because as I was reading these scripture verses, I thought of her and I thought of the many people who are facing situations and issues that are so overwhelming that they feel like giving up and just dying. These passages of scriptures found in 2 Kings 7 tells of a time of great difficulty, pain, suffering, and fear for God's people. A time when the people of God was enduring hardships because of their disobedience to the law and the precepts of God. These scripture verses were set in a time of the reign of kings, the reign of King Solomon. After King Solomon's death, the United Kingdom that his father David had brought together was once again divided. Now that the kingdoms were divided, it was weakened both kingdoms, Israel and Judah, leaving them open to the attacks of other kingdoms. Some kingdoms were nearby and others were afar, but all of them were constantly trying to overthrow Israel. The prophet Elisha was counsel for the king of Israel, Jehoram. King Jehoram, like all the other kings of Israel before him, was disobedient to God and did wickedness in the sight of God. During this time, there was a great famine in the land. The people were once again in a time of difficulty, pain, suffering, and fear. In the midst of all of this, there was a constant warring from around surrounding kingdoms, especially the Assyrians. The Assyrians had King Jehoram and the people of Israel held up in hostage. No one could come into the city and no one could go out of the city. Think of Samaria, the capital of Israel, a fortified city locked up and afraid to open its gates. Because the city was so locked down, no provisions could come in and the people were starving. The Assyrians were waiting patiently for the people to succumb to their situation, either by starving to a weakened state that they would not be able to fight or surrendering to be taken captive. Food could not be found anywhere within the walls of the city. Moreover, the king and all the people were afraid to go out and find food. The starvation was so bad, the people were going to extreme measures to eat. They resort to buying and selling domestic animals for food, which was against the law of God. The word said a pound of pigeon dung could be sold for a shekel. Two mothers struck up a deal that's too hideous to speak about in the company of children, but read it for yourself in 2 Kings. I will tell you this, when the second mother refused to keep her end of the bargain with the first mother who was brokenhearted over her baby, she went to the king and told him what they had done. Hearing this, King Jehoram tore his clothes and cried, knowing that he alone was powerless to do anything to help the people. So he sent for the prophet, the mouthpiece of God, Elisha. Elisha, knowing the plight of the people and hearing God speak to the king, hear now the word of God, he said. This time tomorrow, a measure of fine flour will be sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel in the gates of Samaria. One of the king's captains on whom the king depended said, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, that will not happen. Elisha responded to his disbelief and he says, you will see it with your eyes, but you will not eat any of it. Jesus said when he came, ye of little faith, God is able to do all that he said that he will do. Having faith in God is believing God can do what you cannot see. Having faith in God is believing God for what is impossible. Having faith in God is believing God, knowing that you know that God cannot and will not fail. So on today, we share with you this message. Don't die in winter. Your season is coming. Sometimes to really understand the message, we need to understand an understanding of the situation, a background of what's going on behind the scenes. Here sits outside the gates of the city four leprous men. They had more problems than just needing food to eat. They couldn't even enter the city according to the law set forth by Leviticus. They were unclean, contagious, and could not live among the people. You see, leprosy is a disease that is characterized by skin lesions that can also cause deformity and erosion of the body parts. For the four leprous men, having no food was just another problem, added to an even greater problem they faced each and every day. They were in exile from their families. They could not be part of their community. They were sick with a disease that made them an outcast from society. They were left with no hope. Therefore, they had nothing to lose but their lives. As they sat there, I would imagine they could hear the calamity going on in the city, the weeping and the crying, the wailing of the people as their loved ones were dying. So they talked among themselves, saying, why stay here until we die? If we say we go into the city, the famine is there and we will die. And if we stay here, we will die. So let us go over to the camp of the Assyrians and surrender. If they spare us, we live. If they kill us, then we die. As I deliberated over this text, I wondered, why would God specifically say four leprous men? Why not three? Then we could identify with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I reasoned with the text and said maybe the four men represented the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Or perhaps the four elements of the universe, time, energy, space, and matter. Or maybe the four directional regions, north, south, east, and west. I came to understand that these four diseased men sitting outside the gates of the city were representatives of the four most important components for receiving the blessings of God. We know them, but sometimes we fail to exercise them and walk in them that we would receive the promises of God. Yes, yes, these four men were sick with a disease, and in many ways, we are like them. Some of us are shut out of life, refusing to turn to God. Some of us are losing parts of ourselves, settling for less and not being the person God called us to be. Some of us are letting our lives erode right in front of us. There is an important lesson we can learn from these four sick, exiled, dying men. God has the power to bring us out. He can do anything but fail. God will bless whomever he pleases. God is an equal opportunity God. People might try to shut you out and leave you for dead, even write you off. But God will take what appears to be dead and give it life. In the winter months, trees and other plants will lose their leaves, branches will just fall off. They begin to look barren, almost dead. But what you don't see with the naked eye is the restoration that's going on in the inside. We don't see the shedding. We see the shedding as making room and space for new blessings. We don't see the sap of the tree filling up in preparation for a new season. You see, in the winter, the wind blows and the snow falls. The stormy blasts of ice cover over the trees. But God, who leads and guides, tells the trees, anchor down tight. So the trees sway in the storm of life comes up, and they bend in the wind. So when the icy blast tries to take them out, the trees swell up inside and secure its roots. And yet sometimes old trees and young trees will fall over and die because they have not anchored, but their season, they have anchored, but their seasons are over. Rest on, Deacon Collins. I've learned so much from you. Deacon Joseph Spruill, Deacon Brown, Deacon McCall, Deacon Matthews, Deacon Douglas, Deacon Stewart. Rest on, for you anchored down tight. When your season was over, God called you home. Our lives are like those trees and plants. We have our seasons too. A time to grow and to bring forth. A time to shed and a time to let go of the things that we have outgrown. A time to study, to show ourselves approved. A time to anchor ourselves for the new season that is coming. Don't you die in winter. Your season is coming. If we could just make a decision not to give up, put our trust in God, he will bring us through whatever it is we're going through. Don't die in winter. Your season is coming. The winters of life might be long. It might even be hard to bear, but hold tight to God's unchanging hands. Don't you die in winter. Your season is coming. There is so much we can learn from God's demonstration of his power, how this power worked through those four leprous men. The first thing they did was they stood up in faith. The lepers made a decision grounded in faith. Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. When life is bearing down on us, it can be so hard just to stand. But they stood up in faith. They were in a situation that by all accounts were fatal. There seemed to be no way out. They were locked out by their people. They were preyed on by the enemy, but they reasoned among themselves. They prayed and made a decision saying, what have we to lose? Have you ever been in I have nothing to lose situation? They said to one another and to themselves, no matter which way we go, death could be the outcome. But if we stand up in faith, we could be saved. How many times we found ourselves in situations that appear only to have an answer of loss and no return. We are so quickly to give up and to let go of the promises of God when the blessings are only a few steps away. We make a decision to stay in our situation and not look to God for a way out. I imagine that these four leprous men talked among themselves. They talked to God in prayer. They asked for the right decision. You see, you can go to God and that God will tell you just what to do, when to do it, and how to do it. When they had made their decision, they got up from where they were and they stood up in faith, trusting and believing God would do it for them. We must come to a faith in God that knows when I have no faith in my own ability, I can have faith in God's power. The second thing they did after making the decision of standing up in faith, they walked out in hope. Although the situation looked hopeless, they knew there was a possibility they could be saved. How many times we throw in the towel and give up because of how things might look? We forget about all the other times God brought us through some storms, some trials, and some tribulations in our lives and brought us out of situations that look hopeless. The psalmist said in these words in Psalm 39:7, and now, O Lord, what do I wait for? My hope is in you. There are so many stories in the Word of God that tells us about situations that look beyond our hope. But God shows up and shows out, and he does it again and again for you and for me. You see, there was Daniel in the lion's den. There was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. There was Joseph caught up between a rock and a hard place. There was Moses, mountains on every side, and the Pharaoh and his chariots bearing down on him and God's people. But God opened the Red Sea, carried them through on dry land, drowning Pharaoh in the Red Sea. Don't you tell me what God cannot do. Don't die in winter. Your season is coming. All of us here today, if we really look back over our lives, we can say God has showed up and showed out. I know God has showed up and showed out in some hospital rooms. I know he's been on at some operating tables. I know he's been in some courtrooms, some classrooms, and on some jobs too. I know because he did it for me. And God is no respecter of persons. What he's done for others, he will and can do for you. Don't you die in winter. Your season is coming. The third thing the lepers did after they stood up in faith, they walked out in hope. And they accepted the love of God, a double portion. God demonstrated his love for them. Is there anyone in here today who could use a double portion of God's love today? Is there anybody in here that says, Lord, I need a double portion today? Can you shower your blessings upon me today, oh God? Can you hear my pride, my plea, oh God? I delight myself in you, God. You said in your word that you would give me the desires of my heart. Is anybody in here today want a double portion of the Lord? When Elisha's mentor, father in the ministry, was about to translate to heaven, he asked Elisha, what can I do for you before I leave? And Elisha says, give me a double portion of your spirit, Lord. Master, we must have faith in God. Our hope must be in the Lord. And know that God's love is freely given. Anyone in here today looking for a double portion of God's Spirit? Anybody in here needs some wind beneath your wings today? Is there anybody in here today besides me saying, Lord, I need you today. I need you to hold me up, dear God, and let your Spirit reign supreme. The scriptures tells us the Lord caused the Assyrian army to hear the sound of chariots and of horses and of a great army. So they fled, believing that the king of Israel had called upon the kings of the Hittites and the Egyptians to fight against them. They fled, leaving everything behind. They left their tents, which was full of food and provisions. They left their horses and donkeys and behind, fleeing in the midnight hour. When the four lepers entered the tent of the Assyrian, they found no man, but everything that they had need of. God will cause your enemy to flee, leaving the blessings for you to receive. God had blessings for them with his love as he made a way out of what seemed like an impossible situation. He poured out his loving kindness in abundance that they would have so much that they could go from tent to tent, gathering and hiding for a later day. The psalmist declared in Psalms 110, the Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemy a footstool for your feet. Somebody got some enemies in here today. But I tell you, if you trust God, he'll make them your footstool. He'll cause you to leave you some blessings that you might reap, that you might take. As believers, we are co-heirs to the kingdom of God with Jesus. We too are given the promise that God would not allow our enemies to triumph over us. Don't you die in winter. Your season is coming. The fourth thing the lepers did after they stood up in faith, they walked in hope. They received God's love and they shared the good news of salvation. The text tells us in that ninth verse, they did what God desired that everyone would do when you receive the blessings of God. They said to one another, what are we doing wrong? What we are doing is wrong. This is a day of good news. If we are silent and wait until morning light, we will be found guilty. Therefore, let us go and tell the king's household. When we are blessed by the Lord, we are to share the good news with somebody that there's a God who can deliver and save anybody. For them, the good news was food, provisions, and flight of the enemy. The good news I bring to you today, as every gospel preacher brings, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believed in him, they shall not perish but have everlasting life. God can and will provide no matter what your situation is. There is no situation too big for our God. God loves us more than we love ourselves. The Lord will make a way even when we have messed up and turned our back on him. He will still come through. God sends this message to us and to all who believe that he is Jehovah Jireh, a provider in the time of need. He is Jehovah Shalom, God our peace in the time of trouble and strife. He is Jehovah Nisi, our banner when the whole world is against us. He's Jehovah Rapha, our healer in the time of sickness and pain. God is everything that you need and then some. He's Jehovah Rohi, our shepherd. God is everything that you need whenever you need him in whatever situation you might find yourself in. God's blessing is greater than we could ever imagine. Don't you die in winter. Your season is coming. The reason we don't experience the fullness of God. I was sitting there and I was writing down some of the things that I know that I've been guilty of myself. And some of the things that came to me, it says that we don't truly realize how much God loves us. We are afraid to trust God. We don't believe God is able. We don't accept the filling of the Holy Spirit. We don't believe our prayers will be answered. We can't see beyond yesterday. We don't know the promises of God. We don't believe we're worthy of the blessings of God. We are self-absorbed. We are so broken by life situations. We don't believe God for the impossible. We don't know the word of God. We will not believe God will do what he said he will do. We have given up on ourselves and we have given up on God. But the four lepers, they stood up in faith. They walked in hope. They accepted God's unconditional love. They shared the blessings of God, the good news with others. This weekend, as I come to my close, was the opening of a very important and timely movie called Selma. The movie tells the story of a time when people were willing to stand up in faith. They were willing to walk in hope. They accepted that God's love is for everybody. And they shared the good news. The Apostle Paul writes in Galatians, "There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave or free, male or female, for all are one in Christ Jesus." I am a product of the civil rights movement. A time when we as a people, as a race, was locked up and locked out. We were starving for justice. We were crying for equality. We were left to die in our situations and accept our circumstance. But the Lord said, "I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly." So this morning, the second Sunday in the year 2015, I want to leave you with this question. Will you sit in your situation, your circumstance, and die? Or will you stand up in faith? Will you walk in hope? Will you accept God's love and then share the blessing, the good news that Jesus saves to the utmost? The four leprous men stood up in faith. They walked in hope. They received God's love and shared the good news that the Lord would provide. So I hope we support this great movie that tells a part of our history. And as we prepare to honor Dr. Martin Luther King, the preacher, the teacher, pastor, great civil rights leader, Nobel Prize, Peace Prize recipients, he got up in faith. He marched in hope. He received God's love and he shared the good news. I encourage you today, don't you die in winter. Your season is coming. This is the word of God. This is the word of God. This is the word of God. Don't you die in winter. Your season is coming.